We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The prime of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, two players that Arthur Blank agreed to spend a boatload of money on. He's spent a lot of money on a lot of guys. I mean, Falcons have tied up a good portion of their salary cap into a handful of players with the thought that Dan Quinn and the coaching staff could draft into a position where they could, you know, build around the star players and have enough to be able to make a run. And boy, I think we all bought into this, and I don't blame Arthur Blank as an owner for buying into what he was being told as well. I'm going to take you back a couple of years, actually about 4 years. Right after the Super Bowl debacle, Mr. Blank was on and talking about the future of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, this is right after the 28-3, and it was still pretty raw in everybody's mind, but this is the future that Mr. Blank saw after the Super Bowl, after 28-3, this is what he saw and what he was thinking about going forward in this era of Ryan and Julio.
I think we're in a very, very good position now. I love what our coach has done. I love what Thomas has done in the last couple of drafts. I love the young talent we have. I love the fact that Matt Ryan says he wants to play another 6 or 7 years, which is great. My goal was to put us in a position where we were part of the discussion every preseason in terms of 6 or 7 teams that you all talk about on air that really have a chance to compete for the Super Bowl. And not that every team in the NFL does not, because they all do, but, you know, some are always in that mix. And I think our team is in that mix now. We have a coach who I think has all the leadership qualities that would be important for us for years to come. And I feel like we'll be back in that arena, hopefully many times to come in the not too distant future.
And we all felt that way, even though 28-3 was, you know, still raw, Hugh. We felt that way, and indeed the Falcons got back. And if not for not being able to convert on first down and goal against Philadelphia, they might have been able to make a run. They would have been in the conference. They would have been in the NFC title game the following year. Then last year, there were certainly a lot of high hopes going into the year, as Mr. Blank was saying. Every year we're in the discussion, and the injuries happened, and we all said, okay, we chalked that up to all the injuries that took place. You went 7-9 in a year where you got decimated by injuries. Now we get to this year, and there were high hopes coming off. You know, everybody's healthy, and we all kind of bought into it. But now this year has kind of changed that dynamic.
I'm playing semantics a little bit, but per the cut that we just played, Arthur Blank, Mr. Blank, got exactly what he wanted when he said that he wanted to be in the discussion at the beginning of the season. They were in a discussion at the beginning of the season as one of the teams that could potentially contend for, I almost said pretend. Well, I guess I did say pretend, for a world title. But it didn't work out that way. And now, I guess the curtain has been pulled back a little bit on a few things. Number one, let me say this. I don't think the team has given up on the season or Coach Quinn or anything like that. But there's some glaring issues with this defense right now that need to be addressed. I mean, there's no question about it. It's almost to the point where you're looking at it and wondering what the heck are you guys doing over there when you're practicing. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment, because every week you look at it and we're told that, you know, and I believe Coach Quinn. I know they're out there busting and humping, they're working hard, but progressively gets worse every week, or it's something that, you know, you look at one side of the ball plays well, the offense, like, it was starting to turn around, and then all of a sudden they have a game the way that they had it last week, you know, and not being able to move the ball, sticking up the joint. So it's really, really hard, man. And I know, being in that situation and being on a team that's not doing well, that's the one thing you want, just to win. Just to try to, you know, make yourself feel better for at least a week. And that has not been the case for this team yet. They can't find one.
Well, the Falcons, you know, look at the franchise, what happened with Mike Smith. Mike Smith took them to the NFC title game and had a 17-0 lead against San Francisco in the championship game, knocking on the door of the Super Bowl. We all know what happened in 2012. And then it disintegrated on him in 2013 and 14 and won only 10 games the next 2 years. Dan Quinn comes in, goes 500 his first year, Maybe it's an outlier, Hugh, that he goes to the Super Bowl in year two, but it's been kind of a downward trend since then. And some fans wonder about Mr. Blank's loyalty, whether he takes too long to be loyal. But I don't blame him. If you believe that last year was a one-off, then you can't blame him for this year, because I think we all thought that. So, you know, the question becomes, what does he do now? Because his legacy – look, let's establish something about Mr. Blank's legacy as an owner in Atlanta, at least from my perspective, you know, having been here for a couple of years now. Ted Turner is the greatest owner in Atlanta sports history, and I don't know that anybody will ever surpass him just because of what he did for Atlanta sports. But right there behind him at number two is Arthur Blank. Arthur Blank is, in my estimation, the second best owner in the history of Atlanta sports. He gave us Mercedes-Benz Stadium. He gave us a Super Bowl run with the Falcons. He gave us Atlanta United. He has done remarkable things in the community, and I have tremendous respect for Mr. Blank and what he's done. And now his patience is going to be tried because his legacy might be, Hugh, unfortunately or fortunately, not tied to Atlanta United, not tied to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but tied to what happens in this window of Julio and Ryan. And that may just be the way it is.
You mean the fact that they didn't get it done? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're trying to say? Mm-hmm. I mean, you could – I mean, that's a big one, John. That is huge. I think that, you know, he would love to have a championship here, but – as we've seen, even though the Patriots make it look like it's easy, they're not hard to come. They're not easy to come by, excuse me. They're really not easy to come by. Things have to go right. And you know what the unfortunate thing about this team is that you look at the cast of characters that we have, that we had in that Super Bowl run, and you look at the team now. And basically you're looking at basically some of the same guys. But the difference is they're more mature. You would think that it would be even better because they've been together for a little while. You've added some other pieces. You've added guys like Calvin Ridley. And, you know, Austin Hooper has become a Pro Bowl tight end. Deion Jones is healthy. Only guy that you're really kind of missing is Keanu Neal. And it just feels like, for whatever reason, this team can't get right. This is an anomaly in the fact that you look at Coach Quinn and what he was able to do in his first few years here. And if you didn't know any better, you would feel that Coach Quinn does not have a clue about being a defensive coordinator if you didn't know any better. Now, I know that's not the case. I know that's not the case. You look at his track record in Seattle, and you look at what he was able to do here in the first few years. Now, one might argue that this defense as a whole hasn't really been that great since he's been here, but they were good enough to make it to the Super Bowl. They were good enough to make it to the Super Bowl, and that's what I'm going off of. But this year, you look at last year, And what Coach Marquand Manuel was able to do, and then you look at him being fired and look at what's going on this year, this defense looks like in 2 years it has regressed to the point where, you know, I mean, honestly, I feel like I can go out there and call some plays, knowing that I know I can't, you know, because that's a whole lot going on, but that's what it kind of looks like. What it looks like at this point.
Yeah, back to Mr. Blank for a second, because I'm kind of curious in this discussion here about his legacy as – talking about Arthur Blank's legacy as the owner of the Falcons. And again, his legacy is larger than the Falcons in the community. Let's all understand that. I mean, even Mr. Blank, we all get that Mr. Blank's legacy will live on through that stadium and through the good works that AMB does and all that kind of stuff, which, by the way, is tremendously laudable. But as an owner in the NFL, you know, what has he gone through, Hugh? He's gone through since he's owned this team when he bought it from Rankin Smith. He's built this team up. They've been to two Super Bowls. He went through the Michael Vick era. You know, some people said he was too loyal to Michael Vick through all of it. I think that he's been proven correct on that, by the way, now post all of that, with the kind of way that Michael Vick has handled this and come back to be, you know, who he is. And you know, great credit to Michael Vick, but also something that Mr. Blank saw in him and when he stood by him when other people were fleeing and running away.
From what I understand about that story, is that Michael lied to him. Asked Michael flat out what happened, and Michael lied. And that's where it strained the relationship between him and Mr. Blank. And from what I've heard was that was the biggest thing, because if he'd have came clean with Mr. Blank, it probably would have been a different situation for him. Stuck up for him a little bit more, but he wasn't being truthful in that situation.
And then, of course, they sued that over. Michael Vick, of course, made that incredible, you know, coming back into the stadium, you know, riding with Roddy White and whatnot, and Michael doing the ambassador stuff that he does in his regard, but not getting stuck on that point here. Mr. Blank has been to two Super Bowls. Of course, hadn't been able to get over the hump in either of them, and now wants to get back in it. And at his age, Hugh, he doesn't have time to waste. So if his legacy is going to be tied as an NFL owner to what happens going forward in the remaining, say, 4 years, what do you think? 4 years left of Ryan and Julio?
I would say that, yeah.
Okay. 4 years. And again, that's not to take away any, it's not that we're dismissing Grady or Dion or anybody else, but this era is going to be known as the Ryan Julio era. That's just the way it's going to be. In this Ryan Julio era, he has no more time to waste on potential. He's got to find a way. And yes, granted, there's going to be, you know, salary cap issues and whatnot, but I think that he can't leave this era not taking another big shot at trying to get back to him winning a Super Bowl.
That's what you would like to do. But that's not guaranteed. You know, even with the talent that you have on the team, John, I mean, it's not. For whatever reason, the Patriots have the secret sauce, the hidden formula to be successful for as long as they've been successful. All the other teams are just trying to figure it out. You just talk about the L.A. Rams that just came into town. They're trying to figure out how they can just get back one game. They're one game above 500 right now, but they're trying to get back on track so that they could be a Super Bowl contender. That's not easy to do. For whatever reason, again, I say that the Patriots make it look easy, and that's the model that everybody's trying to follow. You know, you got a good quarterback play. You know, you get some good talent around them, and then you go out and play. For whatever reason, here, we have regressed. We have regressed. Maybe, you know, that's the Kyle Shanahan. Maybe that's the Kyle Shanahan effect. Maybe it's the effect of not having those dynamic players on defense. But do I feel like this is fixable? Like a lot of people on my timeline, my Twitter feed, are talking about rebuild, and they're talking about 2 or 3 years. Outside of the Miami Dolphins and what they're trying to attempt, I don't think that it's going to take that long to fix this team because of the simple fact that you're not that far removed from being in a Super Bowl. You're not that far removed from being a Super Bowl contender. For whatever reason, when Coach Shanahan was out here dialing up those offenses that were scoring record scoring, the having record scoring things and things of that nature, it took a lot of pressure off of that defense. We need to get back to that, bottom line. And how we do that, that's the million-dollar question, because you got too many Pro Bowl receivers and too much Pro Bowl talent around here to be playing the way that you're playing right now.
Which is all to say that Mr. Blank's legacy as an NFL owner, not as a patron and a member of the community, but as an NFL owner, might well be tied to the next big decisions he has to make regarding this franchise in Flowery Branch. Keep that in mind, all right? He's fully aware of it, too. Rocket Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament benefiting the vets at Travis Manion Foundation is going to be tomorrow at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. We want you to come on out. Do you bowl? We got a bunch of celebrities. Hugh and I are going to be there. Dukes and Bell, Andy and Randy, the whole station. Brian Jordan. Matter of fact, Abe, the producer, is going to bowl too. Brian Jordan, Muhammad Masquai, Harry Douglas, and more. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of celebrities. Stars and Strikes tomorrow. I'm getting excited for this, Hugh. Two-game bowling tournament. $1,000 first prize. $1,000 first prize. Tickets and more information at 929thegame.com. Go to our menu on 929thegame.com. Come bowl with us tomorrow. And maybe win $1,000 in the Big Rock and Jock Celebrity Bowling Tournament. When we get back in a moment, some of the NFL headlines. Can anybody stop the New England Patriots? Good heavens. After a CBS Sports Minute.
That look toward Julio. Back across. Here's Mohamed Sanu at the 5. Touchdown, Atlanta, on the dive. Mohamed Sanu into the end zone. It is his first touchdown catch of the year. And Mo played really big after the catch.
Sports Radio 929 The Game Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game NFL Headlines. We had planned to talk about the New England Patriots and whether or not they could go to 16-0 after their Monday night football game. Well, if they are to go to 16-0, we have breaking news this morning that says that they are making moves to try to go to 16-0.
929 The Game breaking news, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
We don't often have breaking news at 7:24 in the morning, but we do to Nitra Batiste.
You are absolutely right, John. That is a rare thing for us, but we do have breaking news this morning. How appropriate that we're talking about the Patriots, because Mohamed Sanu, according to multiple sources, has been traded to the Patriots. The Falcons are sending the wide receiver to New England in exchange for a second-round pick. Now, according to some sources, they did try to do this during the draft. Atlanta held off, so now the Patriots are getting him. Of course, he's done primarily work in returns, if you will, this season. But during his time here with the Falcons, the last four seasons, he's racked up 225 receptions for nearly 2,500 yards and 14 touchdowns. So again, Mohamed Sanu, according to multiple reports, headed to the Patriots.
Thank you, Tanitra. Do appreciate that. Yeah, this is huge news.
What is it like? I don't know how I feel about that, though, because we were just talking about, what the Falcons need to do to fix this, and now we trade Sanu. Now, I get why. I get why. But at the same time, as a fan, it kind of sends the wrong message, in a sense.
And I think, guys, when I think about what Mosinu does, and we think about going, you know, to the Braves, if you will, and you're talking about a five-tool player, this guy is what he's – Mo is who we've always referred to as the Swiss Army knife.
Yes.
He can really, really do it all. So, I like you said, we get why. We get the positives and the advantages for it, but it is a little bit of a head-scratcher just in terms of somebody who can really do it all and has done it all for the Falcons these last three and a half seasons.
Yeah, and what I'm talking about is Calvin Ridley. You give Calvin Ridley more of an opportunity to catch more balls. I mean, you know, you give him an opportunity to shine a little bit more. I get all of that. But as a fan and the way that this team is kind of reeling right now, it's just a strange thing. A lot of people feel like this team is giving up. When you make that move, a lot of people on the outside are feeling like the team is giving up.
Yeah, that is the first reaction. It is a natural reaction. And the biggest question we have is, now that we're finding out this morning again, multiple sources reporting now, correct me, a second round pick.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Second round pick, which, by the way, will be, presuming New England ends up with the 32nd pick, it will be the 64th pick in the draft, obviously. At the end of the second round, which, will give the Falcons, presuming they have a high draft pick, a top five in the first round, a top five in the second round, the last pick of the second round, and a top five in the third round, which will give you a lot of flexibility because you'll have, a late second and an early third. You can move up in the second. You can have a late second and a early second and a late second, move back up into the first as they did with Caleb McGarry. So there's a lot of flexibility that this gives you. But from the first standpoint is, Mohamed Sanu gone is a blow to the Falcons, not only offensively, but also because of the fact that he was so popular with the team. I mean, we really liked Agent 12 a lot. He was a popular player. I had great respect for him. It'd be hard to see him go. But it's business.
Yeah, and it just kind of makes you wonder, what's the overall mindset of the team right now? Nobody's ever going to come out and say we gave up. Nobody's never going to say that, but to lose a key piece like that, I get it. Cal Ridley is going to step up and play more of a prominent role, but to have him out there, one more piece out there, like another receiver out there, I'd rather have him out there, but I get it. I get it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I know the conversation has also been in the last 24, 48 hours, cap space, and really – it's not a lot, because for him, he was going to hit the cap with 7.7 mil this year, 7.9 the next year. It will bring cap savings of about 4.9, been taking him off the books for 2020, but not a lot of room to breathe from a cap space perspective.
I need to ask you another question, Tanitra. You cover the Falcons for us in Flowery Branch. You and I go out there, obviously, but you're out there more often than we are. Has it been your sense here in the last week to week and a half, as this season is kind of devolved into what it's devolved into, and the chatter began in regards to trades, but just talking amongst the media, because I know the players aren't going to talk about it, but the media, whether it's a D-Led or Vaughn or Zach Klein or whomever you're talking to out there, has there been a sense that the Falcons were going to be players in the trade market?
Yeah, as the weeks wore on, I think when you get to this point of five straight losses, then you kind of have to think that that's going to be a reality. Now, the interesting thing is most of that conversation was about, obviously, where can you go? You don't want to kind of touch your heavy hitters, if you will. But ultimately speaking, This one's a shocker. This still has a little bit of a shock quotient because I can't tell you that of the commentary that's been out there, like you said, amongst the media, not any players mentioning anything of this sort, or even in Coach Dan Quinn's feedback to us in the pressers the last few weeks, has there been any mention of specifics? But in his presser yesterday, he did acknowledge that there was conversation going on relative to the upcoming trade deadline, and the wheel started to turn. I just don't think anybody's wheels turned to Mosinu.
Well, as a matter of fact, we have that soundbite that you just referenced here, is Dan Quinn talking about just what Tanitra was talking about the deadline.
I think knowing, you know, this week off the field, you know, general managers and ours included, they're taking calls and making calls constantly. Names get brought up, things get discussed, you know, that sometimes never happen, but we really think about the team a lot.
Yeah, well, certainly this breaking news this morning that Mohamedson has been traded to the New England Patriots. Hugh, does this give you the first thought, you're correct, I agree, is that the fans are going to say, oh, that's it, they're giving up. The second question is this the beginning of multiple moves by the Falcons?
That remains to be seen. I think that any more moves made like this outside of probably the Vic Beasley move, you're probably gonna think that they're throwing up the white flag. But it'll never be nothing that's spoken. It'll just be moves made, and it'll be under the guise of trying to make the team better. You know, and when you look at, I would say, with Mo gone, it has a lot of people scratching their head. I'm looking at my timeline now, and a lot of people are really upset about this. I get it, though. You have a lot of young receivers that you're trying to get the ball to. You know what I mean? Justin Hardy is one of the guys that you want to get the ball to. Calvin Ridley. Russell Gage is a guy who has been a part of, you know, the receiving core a little bit more. He's caught a few balls last week. So I get it. And Calvin Ridley, you want to kind of feature him a little bit because, you know, you did. He is a first-round draft pick. So, you know, you want to do all that. So, yeah, I get it. But still, Mohamed Sanu is a proven commodity. And he's the guy that could do it all. He's the guy that could be your emergency quarterback, punt returner, kick returner, all of that. And for this move to be made at this time with the team looking the way that it's looking, a lot of people feel like you gave up. And there's nothing that we can say on this radio station that's going to make them believe otherwise. You've given up.
Well, yes. I get that. I get a lot of people saying that you've given up. You've waved the white flag now that you've traded Mohamed Sanu. But it's also certainly, I that's a tough statement to make, but it's probably there's some truth in all of it. There is one undeniable fact. The Falcons are in rework mode, and not rebuild, but rework mode officially as of now. And I wondered that when Russell Gage was out there making catches, I'm going, boy, they're giving Russell Gage a lot of run. Does that mean they're about to make? I wondered, notwithstanding the fumble by Gage at the end of the game. A&B Sports and Entertainment bringing together the biggest country music artists for one weekend to create ATL Live, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, 3 weeks from now. On Friday the 15th of November, Sunday the 17th. On Friday the 15th of November, Keith Urban, Blake Shelton, Sam Hunt, Sugarland, and more. Sunday the 17th, Luke Combs, Eric Church, Brothers Osborne. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com for the Country Music Inaugural Country Music Concert Series on November 15 and 17. Again, tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. When we get back, to shift a little bit, Sean Elliott, head coach of Georgia State. Georgia State, but forget about making a bowl. Georgia State wants to win a Sun Belt title. We'll talk to him about his big win over Army and more as we continue with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And it's play action towards the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Georgia State on a fake on a handoff. 8 yards to Aubrey Payne. That's his fifth touchdown catch of the season.
Dave Cohen on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Georgia State, another feather-in-your-cap major win against a big-time FBS program. A 28-21 victory over the Black Knights of the Hudson, beating Army at Georgia State Stadium on Saturday night. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It was a great weekend of college football around here. Everybody seemed to win, and Georgia State gets another big win to go along with that Tennessee victory to go to 5-2 on this season. And we welcome into the program the head coach of the Georgia State Panthers, Sean Elliott. Morning to you, Coach.
Coach Elliott.
You guys there?
Yeah, we here, Coach. Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Pretty good, pretty good. Coach, I know that for you it's one game at a time, but you have to start to get a little bit excited, 5-2 and looking ahead a little bit. How do you stop from looking ahead?
Well, I mean, you know, when you've been in this business as long as you have, as long as I have, you certainly know what's at stake if you do overlook some opponents. But, you know, we're just enjoying the success that we have, and each and every week brings a little bit more, so we're focused on that. This week is the Troy Trojans, and we're very fortunate to be sitting here 5-2 and have an opportunity to get back in conference play and play for a ring.
Yeah, you absolutely do, and that's kind of the question I have. You've won 3 in a row now. You're 5-2. And I know, Coach, your players and you, it's hard not to go to ESPN or to CBS Sports and look at things like bowl projections. And, of course, some have you going to the Alabama Bowl or back to the Cure Bowl where you had success a couple of years ago. And, yes, I mean, bowl game, you know you're one win away from that. But, really, this isn't about the bowl game anymore. Suddenly, you've got a win in the East over Coastal Carolina. You're playing Troy this week. Appalachian State, your old school, looms in the distance here. They're certainly the favorites right now, not just in the East but in the conference. But there are a lot of things in front of you, not the least of which is the chance to win a division title.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we certainly talk about those things during the season, and certainly as the season progresses, as long as you continue to set yourself up for a championship, you got to certainly talk about it. But, you know, we're still early on in this conference slate. I mean, and we got a good Troy football team coming in here this weekend. I mean, when I say good, they're very good, and we've got to take care of ourselves first and foremost during a good week of practice, and just keep our minds right. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of people lose sight of it, you've got to enjoy the process, and I enjoy the winning. I enjoy the winning streak, and I tell our players to certainly enjoy it as well. But I tell them also, praise is the true test of a man. So you've got to be wary of everyone patting you on the back and telling you how good you are, because in the blink of an eye in this business and in any sports or in anything in life, you know, it can all be gone with a bad preparation day or some other thing. So our focus is really, really straightforward and on Troy.
Boy, ain't that the truth. Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to Coach Sean Elliott, head coach of Georgia State football. Coach, you're undefeated at home this year. What sort of advantage being at home gives you when teams come in?
Well, I just want you to understand, we practice here at Georgia State Stadium every single day. And I think that's a huge advantage for us. I really do. While I was at Appalachian State playing and coaching, we did the exact same thing on the field up there. And there's something about where you practice. It's convenient. It's natural. Certainly we've had, I think, good crowds this season, and the support and what our administration is doing to create a good game day atmosphere. But ultimately, I think the practicing here at our state is so comfortable for us that when we go out there on Saturday, it's just like, hey, it's a Tuesday practice, and we go out there and do the same things, just enjoy the game and fight hard.
Talking with Sean Elliott here as we get ready for Troy at Georgia State, Saturday night at Georgia State Stadium, 7 o'clock kick, and you can hear that game on our sister station, 1380 WAOK. Talk about the process, Coach, and you know, you got to a bowl a couple of years ago. You're certainly on track to do that this year. You've beaten Tennessee. You've beaten Army. You mentioned the crowd last week. There's steps along the way that you take as a program, especially for a program as young as Georgia State is. And, boy, those are big steps when you start talking about beating these caliber of teams, these, you know, the name value and how good they are in terms of stepping up your program into Division I. I mean, it really is part of this great process you're on.
Well, certainly. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, you go out and open up the season against Tennessee and pull off, I think, which was a marvelous victory, one of the all-time greats. And then we continue. We bounce around and we lose a couple, but we're still competitive except for that Western Michigan game. Have a great, I think, a win against Arkansas State that at the top of our conference each and every year. And then you face Army. I mean, you get a Coastal Carolina win on the road. I mean, the process is just doing the things necessary to be successful. It's the hard work. It's the trust in one another. And it starts with the students. It starts with our players. You've got to go out And when you say build a process, you got to build it with your football players first. I don't care about facilities. I don't care about anything else. You better have the right man in the right position to make this process work. And that's with great character, a good mindset, and guys that are willing to, just be unselfish, you know, and formulate a great team chemistry. And that's what we're doing here. I think the guys that we're recruiting and the guys we're bringing in here are really, really gelling with the guys that we currently have on our staff or currently have on our roster. And the camaraderie that you see with our football team is phenomenal right now.
Sports Radio 929 again. We're talking to Coach Sean Elliott, head coach of the Georgia State Panthers. Coach, talk about timing and everything. You hit it right on the head. Your defense played a stunning game this weekend. Are they starting to hit their stride now this time during the season?
Well, I can certainly tell you the last two games has been a major improvement as far as in the rushing attack. And overall, just the grand scheme of things, boy, they're playing very, very hard. I think they're formulating their fits, and I think our staff defensively is doing a good job putting them in place to be successful. We all certainly understand it's about those guys going out and making plays. And, you know, Saturday was a great example. I mean, to be tested the way they were, I mean, Armin was a great rushing, has a great rushing attack, and we stood toe-to-toe and faced it. I mean, there was no backing down from it. If you take a guy like Dante Wilson that plays the nose guard position, I mean, to see him battle in there, and that's not a fun position to play against an offense like that. And just to see his face at the end of the game, I mean, just total exhaustion, beat and battered, up and down. But to see the smile after that successful run defensively and have that interception by Quay White at the end, to see their faces in that locker room is all worth it. So, you know, that's where the true joy comes in, and they're doing a great job right now. But we've got a strong test this weekend.
Yeah, tell me about that strong test. Troy is a prop put in their back pocket over the years. Tell me what they bring in this game on Saturday night.
Well, you know, I think their passing attack is one of their strongest things that I recognize right now. They spread the ball around. I think they're throwing for right at 291 yards a game and very, very successful. They got their starting quarterback back, coming back from a knee injury a year ago that he actually suffered against us, and he's having an exceptional year. Defensively, I mean, I think that they're averaging giving up 2.8 yards a rush. Their defense is really good against the run, and they present a lot of problems, a little unorthodox with kind of their scheme of things, a lot of penetrating. Some people call it blitzing. I don't really see it as blitzing. They're just bringing a linebacker in, I think, to play the four-man front, but to really penetrate. So, you know, we've got to be up for the challenge. And it is 7 o'clock Saturday night at Georgia State Stadium, which I think is another great advantage for us becoming, like I said, practicing here. And yeah, I think it's family weekend, and I'm expecting another good crowd here at Georgia State Stadium. Hopefully the weather's going to be cooperate this weekend, and we're going to have one heck of a Saturday night.
Going to be another big day for recruits, too. Thanks. I do appreciate it, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. You're the man.
Man, it is always great to talk to you guys, and I certainly appreciate y'all having us on.
Thank you. Go get Troy there. Sean Elliott, head coach of Georgia State. It is the morning show with John and Hugh. Coming up, of course, we're going to get more of your reaction. The breaking news this morning that Mohamed Sanu has been traded to the New England Patriots. Your reaction coming up next as we take another look into this big piece. Is this the first trade the Falcons will make ahead of the trade deadline a week from today? That's going to be one of the questions. What does this say now that Sanu is headed north? With John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.